the scope of his medical observation. 2,000 years after Hippocrates in 1641, Descartes proposed a second influential view of the brain basis of consciousness. In Descartes' view, the mind was made out of an ethereal substance, a fluid that was stored in a receptacle in the brain. He called the fluid res cogitans, mental substance. When he dissected the brain looking for the receptacle of the soul, he noticed that almost every brain structure came in pairs, one on each side. In his view, the human soul was a single, unified entity, and therefore it could not possibly be divided up and stored in two places. In the end, he found a small, single lump at the center of the brain, the pineal body, and deduced that it must be the house of the soul. The pineal body is now known to be a gland that produces melatonin and has nothing whatsoever to do with the soul. Descartes' idea, though refreshingly clever for the time, and though influential in philosophy and theology, did not advance the scientific understanding of consciousness. Instead of proposing an explanation of consciousness, he attributed consciousness to a magic fluid. By what mechanism a fluid substance can cause the experience of consciousness, or where the fluid itself comes from, Descartes left unexplained. Truly a case of pointing to a magician instead of explaining the trick. One of the foundation bricks of modern science, especially modern psychology, is a brilliant treatise so hefty that it is literally rather brick-like. Kant's A Critique of Pure Reason, published in 1781. In Kant's account, the mind relies on what he termed a priori forms, abilities and ideas within us that are present first before all explanations, and from which everything else follows. On the subject of consciousness, therefore, Kant had a clear answer. There is no explaining the magic. It is simply supplied to us by divine act. Quite literally, the magician did it. Hippocrates, Descartes, and Kant represent only three particularly prominent accounts of the mind from the history of science. I could go on describing one famous account after the next, and yet get no closer to insight. Even if we fast forward to modern neuroscience and examine the many proposed theories of consciousness, almost all of them suffer from the same limitation. They are not truly explanatory theories. They point to a magician, but do not explain the magic. One of the first groundbreaking neurobiological theories of consciousness was proposed in 1990 by the scientists Francis Crick, the co-discoverer of the structure of DNA, and Christoph Koch. They suggested that when the electrical signals in the brain oscillate, they cause consciousness. The idea, which I will discuss in greater detail later in the book, goes something like this. The brain is composed of neurons that pass information among each other. Information is more efficiently linked from one neuron to another and more efficiently maintained over short periods of time if the electrical signals of neurons oscillate in synchrony. Therefore, consciousness might be caused by the electrical activity of many neurons oscillating together. This theory has some plausibility. Maybe neuronal oscillations are a precondition for consciousness. But note that once again, the hypothesis is not truly an explanation of consciousness. It identifies a magician. Like the Hippocratic account, the brain does it, which is probably true, or like Descartes' account, the magic fluid inside the brain does it, which is probably false. This modern theory stipulates that the oscillations in the brain do it. We still don't know how. Suppose that neuronal oscillations do actually enhance the reliability of information processing. That is impressive, and on recent evidence, apparently likely to be true. But by what logic does that enhanced information processing cause the inner experience? Why an inner feeling? Why should information in the brain, no matter how much its signal strength is boosted, improved, maintained, or integrated from brain site to brain site, become associated with any subjective experience at all? Why is it not just information without the add-on of awareness? For this type of reason, many thinkers are pessimistic about ever finding an explanation of consciousness. The philosopher Chalmers, in 1995, put it in a way that has become particularly popular. He suggested that the challenge of explaining consciousness can be divided into two problems. One, the easy problem, is to explain how the brain computes and stores information.